Today on Real Life Radio.
When you vote, you better divorce yourself from who's black and who's white, who's Republican and who's Democrat, who's this or who's that, and you hold them up to those three Trinity issues that we're talking about. Can you do that?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen up. This is a very, very important plea. And it's not a plea for us here at the Real Life Network. It's a plea actually for you. We are living in remarkable moments, remarkable times, and you literally need the Real Life Network to be able to be available to you in an instant. In fact, we have just been meeting on how we can reach you live 24/7, 365 in the event of an emergency, in the event of a crisis. How can you connect with us and get biblically based, honest news in light of what's going on in the world around you? RealLifeNetwork.com. We cannot be canceled. And for this reason, now we see the clarity of why God brought us to do this channel in the first place. RealLifeNetwork.com. Sign up, subscribe, get ready. We will literally be broadcasting the truth to you.
Sign up for free at RealLifeNetwork.com. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in a series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Israel Matters. Now, when it comes to the nation of Israel, no other nation in history has been reborn except Israel. God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who don't. And this is why this series is vitally important, especially when it comes to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to stay tuned. Now, you see, Israel is God's centerpiece in the world today. It's always been God's plan to create a nation built on a promise, an everlasting covenant between God and Israel. To acknowledge Israel is to acknowledge the God of the Bible. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the people of Israel are the most persecuted, the most hated, and the most segregated people on earth, and yet they are the most envied. Now, with his message called Why Israel Matters, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There has never been an actual Palestinian person. By DNA, ethnic group doesn't exist. It's not my invention. But I will tell you this. We're going to put a picture up of a guy who did invent Palestinians. Go to the next slide, you guys. This is the man who invented Palestine. Anybody recognize him? Which Caesar is it? No, this is Caesar Hadrian, 135 AD. Hadrian. Mark it down, look it up. The Emperor Hadrian, Roman Empire, hated the Jews. He said so. He said, I hate the Jews. I want them removed from the face of the earth. In one of the military campaigns, this man had his troops once again invade Israel. They called it Israel. They called it Israel when they invaded Israel. Isn't that interesting? And when they got there and conquered it, this man issued a decree. By the way, you can read it in Rome, and you can read it at the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem, and you can read it at the British Museum in London. Hadrian, documented fact. Hadrian declared or issued the decree to so obliterate the Jews and find out who their worst arch enemy was of all time. And listen to this. Are you listening?
Yes.
600 years before Hadrian showed up, the last Philistine died. Philistine. The Israelis' arch enemy, the Philistines. They had been gone from the earth for 600 years when Hadrian showed up in 135. He renames in the Latin tongue Palestine, Philistia, the land of the Philistines, to insult the Jews, and he said so. And from that time on, based upon Hadrian's declaration, people called the region Palestine. Prior to 1948, if you lived in Palestine, you were either an Arab or a Jew. But you had a Palestinian passport that was recognized in antiquity that way regarding your travels. But you were a Jew or you were an Arab. No one called there was not an Arab genetic Palestinian or a Jewish DNA or genetic Palestinian. The term Palestine originates in this man's heart. It never existed previously. You need to know that. It says that in nearly 2,000 years, the Roman Emperor Hadrian declared the Jewish people cursed and issued a decree that Judea should be remembered no more and so thus must be called Palestine after the Philistines, the ancient enemy of Israel that had disappeared from the world stage more than 600 years earlier. It was his final twist of the knife and legacy after wars, massacres, persecutions, and exiles that had largely extinguished the Jewish presence from all of Judea. Next slide, next graph I want you guys to see. Notice this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. If somebody says to you today, in all honesty, I'm a Palestinian, I know what they mean, you know what they mean, but they may not know what they mean. Their descendants were refugees prior to 1948 in the land. But this is pure history right now. Watch this. Before 1406 BC, you've got the Canaanite nations that lived in that whole region. You say, well, who was there first? The Canaanites were there first. Oh, they were there first, then it's their land. I understand. And look, if I was not a Christian, I would say, you're right. Did you hear what I just said? If I was not a Christian, or if I wasn't Jewish, if I wasn't Christian, I would say, you're right. First come, first serve. After that, you got the conquest by Israel. Moses, Joshua. Okay? After that, you've got King David. This is all historical chronology. Then Solomon. You got the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire. This is coming into the land. This is regarding the land of Israel. Independent Israel, the Maccabean Revolt period. The Roman Empire comes. The Byzantine Empire after the Roman Empire. Then in 636, the Muslim rule. Then various Muslim or Christian crusaders rule. The Ottoman Empire, or the Turkish Empire. 1917, the British rule. And then in 1948, May 14th, 1948, Israel is declared an independent nation. This is pure chronology to the land. This is pure politics, but with 100% biblical significance. You see how you can't separate this stuff? There's nothing in here regarding what you're hearing on the news today. Where's your evidence? Well, listen, I'm not going to give you much evidence. We don't have the time, but you've got all the time in the world to look it up. I'll give you the kickoff for the game. Mark it down. It's Genesis 15, 18. Yeah, but that's the Bible. Well, you ought to pay attention to it. Genesis 15, 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt. What river is that? The Nile to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. We have a slide for you right now, a map. The Bible says the region that God has promised. Do you all see the Nile? Far left-hand corner of your map, the southwest portion of your map, the Nile. Okay? You got that? Everybody see that? To the Euphrates River. Do you see that? The Euphrates River goes all the way down towards Basra, down towards Kuwait. You guys, this has not been realized yet. It's not supposed to be realized yet because this is the region when, in the millennium, when Jesus returns and establishes the promised kingdom, he will rule over that entire scape that you see, almost 99% of what you're looking at, the Mediterranean's to the left. This is the kingdom that Jesus will personally rule over himself. This is the promised land. You see, the promised land, you've got Jordan, there's Lebanon, there's Iraq and Persia. That's right. Isn't that wild? But the United Nations says no way to that. That's true. But Barack Obama said to go back to the pre-67 borders. That's right. I say, why stop there? Let's go all the way back to the 3,700-year borders. Because this is what God says. He said, I don't like what you're saying. I didn't write the book. The Bible says this is what's going to be the territory when the Messiah comes. This is in your Old Testament. This is in the Old Testament over and over again. God spoke this to Abraham. And you need to mark that down well.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Genesis 17:7 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and to your descendants after you in their generations for an a what? Ever." How long is an everlasting covenant? A very long time. An everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, but I will be their God. Point number two tonight, this issue regarding Israel. Because all this, by the way, is going to heat up more in the next, how many more days to the election? 45 days, something like that? 42 days, something like that? Okay, listen, this is going to be a big deal. And you are going to be the smartest people on the planet. Number two, our biblical worldview on politics in Israel, God's witness to the world is the Jew. The Jew. Are you kidding me? First of all, I had to share this with you. Don't believe me? Look it up later. He'll have a ball doing this. Apparently, if winning the Nobel Prize was based upon an ethnic group, then you would want to be a Jew. Members of the Jewish race have won more Nobel Prizes, awards in science, economics, arts, technology, and they lead the world in patents. Did you know that? If you're born in Israel, the probability of you, or if you're a Jew, the probability of you winning a Nobel Prize puts all of us on the back of the line. Go figure that. So that's weird. That's God. God has, he's favoring them. He's always said they're my people, but they've been in so much trouble. Yes, he said that too. He said, if you reject me, you're going to be cast out to all the nations of the world and you're going to become a hissing. That's a bad term, a hissing. People are going to say, are you a Jew? You're a Jew. Get away. You're a Jew. The world would hate the Jew. God said, if you reject me, the world will hate you. But he said, I will not allow you to come to a full end. He said, before I come back, I'm going to return you into your own land. That is, just that alone, mathematically, is impossible. God's witness to the world is the Jew. Remarkable. Now look, first of all, I'm not saying that everything that a Jew does or that Israel does, you should get behind and rah-rah. They make a lot of mistakes like every nation and every people do. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm not condoning everything they do. That's not the point. I'm talking about God's promises and God's heart toward Israel, which when you vote, you better divorce yourself from who's black and who's white, who's Republican and who's Democrat, who's this or who's that, and you hold them up to those three Trinity issues that we're talking about. Can you do that? Apparently, people can't do that because they're saying, I just can't do that. I've got to vote this way. I'm talking to Christians. I was speaking to a bunch of Christians yesterday morning somewhere else, not you. And some of them said to me, I can't vote in this election. I'm sitting it out. Well, you're part of the 20 million that sat it out in 08. Sitting out doesn't take you off the hook. Well, God is very interested in how and what we think about the Jewish people. God has blessed the Jewish people, if you like it or not, and he blesses them, and he's blessing them. What about this issue? I don't know if we had a slide for this or not. I didn't mark it right here. Do we have a slide regarding some of their most recent blessings? I think it was in Israel. Yeah, look at this. Israel Today magazine, The Battle Over Israel's Newfound Riches, Part 2. They've been doing this story. Israel is trying to keep the lid on the news of how much oil and natural gas they have found. It's ginormous, ladies and gentlemen. It is staggering. Israel's independence, because it's been doing research and drilling. By the way, we've been helping them, thank God. It's amazing. But there's a battle forming. There's a battle forming because Syria says it's theirs. Lebanon says it's theirs. Turkey says it's theirs. And now Egypt's going to get in the fight and say it's their natural resources, even though Israel has drilled it and added to its coffers. Its economy is exploding. And for the first time, it's kind of cute. They call it Silicon Wadi. You know, we have Silicon Valley in California. They now have Silicon Wadi, which a wadi is a valley, is a wash, creek bed. And why is it being called that? Because it is now surpassing California's Silicon Valley in high-tech development. It's amazing. In a nation the size of New Jersey that is hated more than any other country on the face of the earth. Why? Because God loves Israel and he's getting it ready. Well, listen, there's a book written by George Gilder. It's called The Israel Test. And the author, George Gilder, points out that the remarkable results that have come upon the nation or a people who pass what Gilder calls the Israel Test in his book released in 2009 is staggering. In this book by George Gilder, he puts the nations of the world up to a test regarding how they deal with Israel. And he matches their diplomacy policies. Hello, are you guys with me?
Yes.
He matches their politics with Israel and their relationship with Israel. And then he looks at the stabilities and the issues of those nations. And he shows you how those nations who are favorable towards Israel are blessed by God. But go check it out and see. When Israel has been the most persecuted, the most hated, the most segregated, and yet how can this be the most envied people in the region? Isn't that interesting? A lot of people hate Israel because it's so blessed. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. It was our daily reading today, all of you who are reading in the daily Bible. Isaiah 49, verse 7 says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of who?
Israel,
the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor. To the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel. It's not Canada. It's not Peru. And he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in the acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate places, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed among the roads, and their pastures shall be on the desolate heights. Referencing God's blessings coming to the nation of Israel. The Jewish people, the Jewish state to come, has been given a promise, and this promise has yet never been realized. After the great tribulation period, the Messiah and the second coming, Jesus returns. And listen to this, mark it down. This is Bible prophecy, and yet it's going to become true when realized. And you might say, well, I want to get into Bible prophecy. Well, then how about this? If you are a Christian, you must embrace Bible prophecy. Why do I? Because it's prophecy, Bible prophecy. It's eschatological, the promise that God would save mankind through Eve's offspring. Did you know that? In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, a prophetic announcement, prophecy given by God that the Messiah would come forth from Eve. That's prophecy. So let me ask you again, do you like Bible prophecy? Salvation is based on Bible prophecy. So, like it. It's good for you. Jeremiah 31:31 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I make a new covenant. What? Yep. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Watch this. God's going to make a new covenant. I thought he already had one with them. He's got an old one with them right now. Not according to the covenant that I made with them with their fathers in the day that I took them, when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. How'd they break it? All kinds of ways, but partly Moses threw down the representation because the people had already broken it. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after the end times, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. God's not done with Israel. Neither should you be. Point number three, our biblical worldview on politics in Israel, number three, is God's promise to the world a blessing. God's promise to the world regarding Israel, a blessing. World history began, as I mentioned earlier, in what is called the cradle of civilization. But watch this. We know exactly where that was and what became of it. We also know that out of that region, God called a man, chosen by God, a man called Abraham or Abram, from where? Ur of the Chaldees. This always gets my Jewish friends a little bit nervous when I tell them this. And yet, to date, as of yet, I've not had one refute this. Abraham, that is our father, Abraham. Yeah, that's great. Me too, super great, listen. But he's Jewish. Well, hang on, hold your horses. Abraham, it says in the Bible, God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Did you hear that? Abraham, God declared Abraham his friend because Abraham believed God before Moses ever came around, before there was ever a Ten Commandments. Think of that. Hey. So I want to ask you, what law did Abraham keep when there was no law? And then God's covenant with Israel was circumcision. But God called Abraham his friend and declared him a man of faith before Abraham was ever circumcised. Thus, being called from Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan worshiping, polytheistic region of the world, in the cradle of civilization, a nomadic wanderer, uncircumcised with no law, the first Jew was the last Gentile. He was a Gentile. I almost said it right. He was a Gentile. Abraham was a Gentile before he was a Jew. How'd the change happen? Faith in God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Why Israel Matters. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, this is the truth. Yeah. I was going to call you this week because I was explaining to producer Johnny, who happens to be my oldest son.
What?
I was trying to, because I'm working on Samuel, right? First Samuel.
Yeah.
And I got names confused, yeah, right?
Sure.
And the fact that, was it Eli or that was Samuel that was?
Yeah, all those guys are in there. All that okay, dynamic was, with Eli and his sons, right, and it's a who disaster.
Who was given to the temple?
Yeah, Samuel.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, but here I am standing at the kitchen sink trying to remember all these names, Eli, Samuel, blah, blah, blah. And I had a hard time, and I thought to myself, I'm going to call Pastor Jack right now and ask him if Wiersbe can explain.
Yeah, well,
this
I
to
saw
me.
You call him, and I didn't answer.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Hit the little red button. Oh, it's Davey. But there's a book out by Warren Wiersbe. Tell me about it.
Oh my goodness! Look, we're holding it right now. It's about 6 inches tall and about 3 inches thick. But don't let that scare you, everybody. Let that bless you. For example, look at that. I just happened to turn to 1 Samuel.
No, I'll be dog.
Wow.
Look at that.
Now, I don't encourage Bible roulette in your life, right. But I just did that right now. Chapter 1, chapter 2, away it goes. He explains and gives you, the meaning of words, the times and the seasons of which this book came about, what was going on. In fact, listen, this is a great one. Finding Jesus Christ in the Psalms, and he lists all the passages of Scripture where Christ is mentioned in the book of Psalms. This is, you know, I got to tell you, if all in the entire year you had one book to buy, this is the book to buy. Have this book next to your Bible and have a blast going through the Bible just by yourself. You just go through this, and in short order, every chapter of the Bible has a brief overview of what that chapter contains. Why and what does it mean? And it's just a great book. With the Word, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, Chapter by Chapter Handbook of the Bible.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.